Once again, we're talking about Shakespeare and Company, and really the opening of the season at Shakespeare and Company with the New England premiere of Morning After Grace by Carrie Krim. And we have with us Corinna May, who is obviously involved in this production. Otherwise, I wouldn't be speaking to her. Thanks for joining us, Corinna.
I'm delighted to be here. Thanks for having me.
Now, let's give a little bit of background for listeners that are first time hearing your voice and get a little background on your journey into the arts, how you got started, and just some of the places that you've been.
Gosh, reaching back into the past, I think I first fell in love with theater when I was in high school, but I didn't really think of it as something I wanted to commit to until college, when I did a production of what we refer to as the Scottish play, or Macbeth, which is being done at Shakespeare and Company this summer, actually. And I played Lady Macbeth, and I was also taking my first real voice training class at the time with a brilliant teacher named Robert Neff Williams, who taught at Columbia and at Juilliard. And I found myself immersed in this extraordinary world of language and feelings and storytelling, and I remember thinking, if I could do this for the rest of my life, then this is exactly what I want to do. And from there, you know, I went to acting school in New York City. I did various summer stock gigs here and there. I ended up coming to Shakespeare and Company in the late, like, 89, and started by playing a maid in an Edith Wharton production. And then started acting in the Edith Wharton productions, got hired for the education tour to play Lady Capulet and Benvolio in our six-actor education tour. And I've also done a little bit of television. I starred in a feature film called Split Ends, which you can get on Netflix, about a Scottish hairdresser taking on a corporation that's trying to tear down her small town. I was on the national tour of The Graduate, playing Benjamin's mom.
So you really have had your career. You're not locked into one simple style. You really seem to that you can pick up and whether it's comedy, whether it's stage, whether it's TV or whatever. It obviously is something that you can pick up very quickly.
Well, with a lot of hard work and, you know, sort of figuring things out along the way. I think, you know, the more time I spend acting, the more I learn about it. And I think, gosh, it would have been nice to have known this 20 years ago, but there's no way to have known it 20 years ago. That's why, you know, it's a craft. You go from apprentice to journeyman, and at some point, maybe you attain mastery. But it's really fun to go through different things, to go into comedy, to go into tragedy, to do period pieces, or like Morning After Grace, to do something that's utterly contemporary, which I actually haven't done for a few years now, not since Memory of Water at Shakespeare and Company.
We're speaking to Corinna, and once again, who's starring in Shakespeare and Company's Morning After Grace. Before I get to your character in this, I have to ask you something.
Yes.
I was a dedicated watcher of House of Cards.
Oh, yeah.
I was. Now, you were in House of Cards.
Season 2.
Season. Okay, and what character did you play?
I was a Republican congresswoman from Tennessee, and I was on the House Judiciary Committee.
I've got to go back because I was locked in. So was that a? I have to ask you this: with all the hubbub that's been going on, was it a fun place, a fun time to work with it, or was
terrific?
It
was terrific. Yeah. It was terrific. We shot in Baltimore. I shot for a whole day. We did three scenes. It was the last episode of season 2, so there were big revelations happening in front of the House Judiciary Committee that day, and people couldn't have been nicer. The set was running like like a tight ship. It was the director was terrific. I had a lovely, lovely time working there, and I'm sorry that the things got a little bit upset there. But Robin Wright then took over. One always thinks, you know, I think for a lot of people, they don't realize how many people are working on the show, right? So there are people who've moved their families to Baltimore in order to be behind the camera, be in makeup, be in costumes, be in, you know, lighting. And so, yeah, I loved it. I thought it was a wonderful place to be.
All right. Well, I just had it because I hope that there's seasons to come because I got hooked on that show.
I think it's a terrific show.
Big deal.
Yeah, me too.
All right. So now let's go to your character.
Okay.
And what did you think, first of all, about the idea of this play where it basically represents a time in people's lives where I think people throw away when they think about it. They think that there's not much there in that time of life.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I think what happens in the culture is that people in that age group kind of get short shrifted,
dismissed,
and there aren't a lot of stories told about what's happening. And there's a line in the play where my character says, "Every time I look in a mirror, I expect to see a 32-year-old woman looking back." And I remember my dad would say that, you know, on his birthday, he would say, and he lived to be 86, and he would say, "I don't know, I don't feel much older than I did, you know, 20 years ago." And the truth is that we feel how we feel, and we may get a few more aches and pains and so on as we get older, but the vitality and that we feel, the yearnings that we feel, the love and the aches, you know, the emotional longings and the dreams that we have, they may shift and change, but, you know, we're still extraordinarily vital inside. And the culture is spending a lot of time telling us, yeah, never mind about all that. You're past that now. You're past that. And the truth is you're never past it. You're never past wanting adventure and love, and you're never past wanting to heal hurts that you know. I mean, every character in this play has a deep hurt that's lying there needing to be healed. And in the course of the play, they all get to healing and moving on with you know, joy and pleasure and friendship and that's one of the things that I really love about this. As I, you know, I mean, as I move into my later years and in a business which says, well, you know, really?
Yeah.
But here's this playwright who's written this terrific play and this terrific role for a woman who's over, you know, childbearing years, which most of the business kind of says, well, once you can't have children anymore, we're not that interested in you. But I think the tide is turning too. I mean, I think there are playwrights who are starting to look at this age group. But Carrie has written just a beautiful and insightful and loving and funny and true portrait. And I think people will come and they'll really get to feel that their own lives and experiences are being reflected.
We're speaking once again with Corinna. And she is playing Abigail in this play. And it's funny when you talk about this, and I can relate to this. My mother advanced from early onset to dementia to Alzheimer's.
Oh, and
so, but I got to see a million terrific stories when I would visit her, because I visited her a lot. And my favorite line is every day, because she had she just couldn't remember. Every day I'd sit with her and she'd say, "Look at all the old people here," and she was 82 years old, and but she just didn't feel 82, and they found a niche for her where she could do some work with the nurses late at night because she couldn't sleep. There, and I saw tons of stories that I think anybody that's had somebody, a grandparent, a parent, whatever, in a nursing home, I think they would really get a kick out of this play because it's not a sad play. I think it's an interesting, fun play.
Oh, it is. It's actually a really fun play. And I think what everybody in the play also discovers is once they start to heal this hurt or this thing that's, you know, and everybody's got some kind of grief in them, but once you start to heal that and get on with things, and you know, you actually retrieve that fun-loving person that you know you are. And I got to say, I totally agree with you, Marshall. I have not met, I mean, I've got aging mother-in-law, I've got an aging stepmother, my mother is 88. Not a one of them is interested in being around old people. Do you know what I mean? I think old people has nothing to do with how many years you've lived on a planet. I think they're talking about a state of mind.
Yep, absolutely.
And I have not met a single senior citizen who wants to be in that state of mind. You know,
absolutely.
So we need to just stay, and we need. You know, I think it's a great time to speak up and say, you know, don't put us on a shelf. Don't think we're going on a shelf, any of us.
Well, once again, it is Morning After Grace at Shakespeare and Company, shakespeare.org. It's at the Elaine P. Bernstein Theater in Lenox. You can reach them online at shakespeare.org. or 413-637-3353. And once again, Abigail is the character that Corinna May plays when you go see this. So now when you finish with this play, seeing this is the opening play, and you actually got it's a pretty long schedule that it basically runs through July, the middle of July. After that, do you take a rest or do you get right back in it?
Well, I'm also a teacher.
Okay.
I teach Linklater voice work and Feldenkrais somatic movement method. So, and I'm slated to go teach a workshop in St. Louis with a master Feldenkrais teacher trainer named Arlene Zone. So we're going to go do that, and that's very exciting. And I have I'm going to be doing something in the Tearingham Arts Festival, which is the last Saturday in July, July 28th, in the village of Tearingham, Mass. And I have a couple of writing projects of my own. I am going to take a bit of a rest in August. I think for an artist, there's always something on the back burner. There's always something going on, and whenever I'm not under contract to somebody, I'm working on my own things, and so never a dull moment, as they say.
Well, Corinna, thanks for taking a few minutes and joining us once again to Shakespeare and Company's opening Morning After Grace, shakespeare.org. Much success, and is this your first time at Shakespeare and Company, or have you been?
This is probably my 30. Okay. I've done something.
So you're
I've done.
Pro.
I've been here for nearly 30 years, yeah. And I think this is my maybe. I think I've done close to 40 shows here.
That's great. So you are like a cast member.
I am. Now, my cast, Stephen Barkheimer is a first-time Shakespeare and Company actor. He's a big deal in Boston. And Kevin Vavasour is also on the Shakespeare stage for the first time. So, and they're terrific. So, you know, people who are looking for fresh faces as well as my familiar face.
Well,
we'll have a great time seeing us all.
I'm going to go to season 2, that last episode today, and rewatch it just so I can get an idea.
I'm the one with the southern accent.
Give me a little of that southern accent.
I say, Mr. What do you mean? What are you talking about? What did he know and when did he know it?
Thank you for joining us today. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
All right, take care.
Thanks, Marshall. Bye.
Bye-bye.